It's a real privilege to be here. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. O gracious God and Father, we thank you and praise you for your greatness. We thank you for this season that we can celebrate the coming of your Son and remember that he came to this world, to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we rejoice in this. This is awesome. So we just praise you and thank you for the meaning that the Lord Jesus gives, the meaning of life, and that light that he brings, that he is. We just thank you for. Pray that your word would speak to our hearts now and minister to each one of our needs. So we just commit these words and your word to your blessing, Father, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for having me here, and thank you, our brother, too, this morning for sharing the word. It's a real blessing. I'd like to speak this evening on the Bible, and it's become special to me in these last 10, 12 years with getting involved with going to overseas and coming to realize we've got one special book. It is the special book. And that has really been hit home to me, walking in these jungles, seeing these people with no literature yet, and groping, as it were, for the light. And just one instance specifically stands out to me. We had a group come through in a couple years ago in Wamana. They were students like Andrew is right now, gone into language learning, and their flight got weather, and they weren't able to make it back to the capital city and ended up being stranded in Wamana or sidetracked for weather. And all of a sudden we had 7, 9 students or tourists, as it were, almost stranded in Wamana, and we were hosting them. And we went, this kind of orientated them a bit to Wamana and showed some of the highlights. And one of them was we went out into the Dani area. That's the natives there are called Dani, the tribe of Dani. They've got the gospel maybe 50 years back. It was the Missionary Alliance went in there. And we come into this village that really had little exposure. And this guy died in there, and he asked his family. He was sitting in a kind of in a crouching, squatting position. And he says, leave me like this, tie me up like this, and show me. And here he was. They pulled him out. He's a mummified man. And this has got to be like, they said 300 years ago, this guy died. And it reminded me of the verse of this people coming with the light, with the gospel, because that's very prominent there. They're waiting for the white man to bring the gospel. And he was just sitting there, waiting. And it just struck me full force. We've got the Bible. We've got the Word of God. And I've done just going to give a page of history. We had a bit of history this morning. That was helpful to me because that was one of the languages that the Bible's in, Greek. But anyway, Bible. And we go over this in Bible Club, but holy, sacred. And Bible, Biblia, which is books, little books, writings. So we have the holy writings, the sacred writings, the sacred books from God. And that's what Holy Bible means. It's been written over 1,500, 1,600 years, has one message, over 40 generations. It's by more than 40 different authors in different places in different seasons of life. And I mean by that, David was a man of war, Solomon a man of peace, and here we have the same book. In over 3 continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, in 3 languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and possibly more. I'm taking some of these from The Stranger and the Road to Emmaus. What I found interesting, just doing a little search on how do we have the Bible. And some of you know this maybe from history. It was Johannes Gutenberg, a German blacksmith. This guy was fairly smart as far as hands-on. He was a goldsmith, a printer, a publisher, and he introduced the printing press in a new way to Europe. And Europe was not the leading edge of the printing press. The printing press had been developed already in China back in about 800, but it never took off. Well, Gutenberg got it to fly, as it were, and he printed up a Latin Bible. That was the very first Bible. The very first book that came off the printing press was a Bible, the Bible, God's Word. So here we have the Bible in Latin, and today, at that time, he got going with about 150 Gutenberg Bibles, and there are recorded 48 left, or portions of 48. And one is in a museum in New York, even this day, that was the first copy brought to America back in 1847. Now, it doesn't mean much to us in Latin. It wouldn't mean much to us, to many of us, most of us likely, in French. And yet, that's how we expect, almost as it were, to get the Bible across in Indonesia. It is in the national trade language, which if we got a French Bible and somebody said a few words to us, we might be able to get by on the market. That's what it is, the market language. But we certainly wouldn't get by in understanding salvation, sin. It'd be very, very vague. But anyway, it came to us in English, and this is the work of William Tyndale. Many of you probably heard of him. But he was the first to translate the scriptures as we know it into English. And that was back in 1525-26. He got the New Testament done. And 90% of his translation became the basis of the Authorized King James Version of 1611. And after that, the English Revised Version of 1885. And most of the Bible came from William Tyndale's work. So the first complete English Bible was printed on October the 4th, 1535. So here we have the Bible, the first book on the printing press, and now it's in English. So by 1535, it became known as Coverdale because a year before this, Tyndale got arrested for printing Bibles and didn't finish. And so Coverdale went and finished it, and that was about a year later. Tyndale was burned at the stake for printing Bibles. It became known, or that later on got into what they call the Geneva Bible. That became popular in 1560, and for about the next 100 years, it was the most popular Bible to have. And it also came from the King James Version. And of that, again, 90% or even more than 90% was from William Tyndale's original English translations. It's as we have it today. The English word Bible is from the word, the Latin, Biblia, and ultimately comes from the Greek. I can't say it. I can barely read it. But it's Biblia and means the books. And that's what we have, the Bible, is the books, 66 of them. Glasses on here. So we have the Greek word Biblia coming from paper, scroll, which comes back or goes back to the way it was written back in those days on the Egyptian papyrus. And that's where it seems to be, it can be traced to. And then it got to be used to describe sacred books, and there was a phrase, Biblia Sacra, and that was meant for sacred books, and that can be traced to the year 200 and or 223. This is after Christ, or AD. So in the world today, what I didn't realize, once you travel, wherever you go in the airport, or when you're in the cockpit, the pilots use English. English is the world aviation language. All control towers need to know English. So over the years, the Holy Bible was first mass-produced by this printing press that Gutenberg invented, and the Bible was that first book printed. And this gives, to me, come to realize what an awesome privilege and yet responsibility we have. So we have the printing press, 1450s, the Bible in English, 1550, Coverdale's Bible, and our Geneva Bible in 1650. So it's in that time span that here we are in 2012. You can almost go into, we can go into many countries as NTM with English as a second language, go in there, even undercover, as a Bible teacher, but English, teach English as a second language. The world is open to English. We had students next door to us in Bandung. They wanted to learn English. They wanted to fellowship with us because we could speak English. They could practice their English on us. And we wanted to learn Indonesian. And if that's a real detriment to be trying to teach English to students when you're trying to learn Indonesian. So that's an introduction to the Bible. What's the message? And this is what's really, it's referred to as the way, Acts 9 verse 2, the word. And that's what I want to get into and read John 1. It's John that I'd like to focus on, the book of John and the writings of John. But what's the message? Well, first off, the message is God-breathed. It didn't come from our way of thinking. And so let's just read a portion here, and then we'll get looking at some other verses as well. In the beginning was the Word. This is John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll stop there with the reading, and I'll get on to the application, and we'll skip over to the second last verse, when Jesus is calling. And sometimes I find, get into a message and don't get to the application. How did this affect Nathanael? Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, whence thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So here Nathanael's realizing, this man knows everything about me. What's his response? It's one of worship, one of awe. And is that what our response is? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And this is something, do I realize Jesus is the Son of God? That's what this message, that's what this book is all about, is that Jesus is the Son of God, and He is our King, and the King is come. That was what we had this morning. This is awesome, and it is so special. And first off, I want to go to 2 Peter 1, verse 20, that knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scriptures is of any interpretation. It didn't come from any personal thinking of man or cleverness. Verse 21, for the prophets he came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. None of this was man's ideas. And it was spread over so many years. There's no way one man could come up with that theme. And the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find this quite incredible that this is the message that we have. Here we have it in English. Here we have it in a form that is being able to get on a printing press, which printed the Bible as the very first book. That's what this man's desire was to get that word out there. And how did it come? When? Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is the message, Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We had a verse this morning. It was really meaningful to me. It's there in Timothy. And that was the second epistle, verse 9, and I'm getting into part of it, the middle part, but according to, not according to our works, this is the message again, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is what Christmas is about right here. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life. The Bible is all about life. Life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life. The world or TV evangelist talks about the abundant life. No, the joyful life, the one that's from God. Hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is something I was raised up with and came into contempt of. I heard it every day. We sat around the table every meal, and it was boring to me. And it wasn't until realizing, seeing these people that have no word of God, that I realized what a privilege that I was born into. And that's only a privilege from God. Back to the message of John. In the Scofield Bible, it has some notes. And the first off is the word logos. But before I get that, the theme of John, it has there John 20, verse 31. These things are written that ye might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. This is so critical to understand life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the book of John, you'll see there, life is one of the many words repeated often by John. Believe is another one. We've already read it in the passage we had. True, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love, son is another word that's very common. Witness, son of God, I am, and world, the word world comes out. And then there's also the epistle of John. And life, there are two things that people find difficult in life, and that's what this epistle is about. And it's important to get these two things straight, and that's love and God. If we get these two things figured out, wow. And that's what the epistle of John is on. These two subjects are intricately related, and if we want to deal with God the right way, we have to learn to love the right way. If we want to learn, we want to love the right way, we have to deal with God the right way. And it's all in this book, and we've got it. So God and love cannot be separated. And John's epistle shows how that works in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So God and love are totally linked together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll leave that study to you for the That's through 1 John. But back to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. This word is logos, and logo, if I got it right, is the word for speak or spoke. But logos is word. And there's two parts to this word. It's a thought or concept, and then a manifestation of that thought and concept. And who do we have that in? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word. And how did God create the world? He spoke. Genesis 3, let there be light. That's what God spoke. That thought utterance became physical. And that's logos is the thought, the concept. And then the second part of that, it became manifested. And that's what that verse in Timothy was. God manifested his thought in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, here we go on to verse 14. And the word, this is the thought, the concept, manifest in Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there's just a lot of just in the word of grace. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get back to, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a lot of contrast here. First you have beginning. That's a time word. All right? The next word is word. All right? We just said that's logos. Well, that's a timeless word. Christ. This word is referring to Christ. Christ is timeless. Christ is eternal. So we've got time, we've got timeless. And this, it just goes on, this concept, darkness, light, life, death. It just keeps on going here. So in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And this was in, what was the situation? It was darkness. It was murkiness. There was void. There was nothing there. Then this is the spoken word. Then there's Psalm 19. And we'll just read these. There's six verses there. Very, very familiar verses. Psalm 19, 1-6. 1-7 here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And this is a verse. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Another way it's put, there is no speech nor spoken word, and this is the Amplified, from the stars their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in the Amplified, yet their voice, the evidence that there are stars, goes out to all the world, earth, their sayings to the end of the world. Of the heavens, God has made a tent for the sun. And this is something that the tribal people, they can see. And you sit down at night, and the stars are so much brighter there. And the stars are there all day long too, but you just don't see them. And yet when you're sitting down at night, there's evidence. The unspoken word, as it were, God's unspoken word, there in the stars. Yet their voice, in evidence, goes out through all the earth, their sayings to the end of the world. Of the heavens, God has made a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices a strong man to run his course. Its going forth is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of it. Nothing, yes, no one, is hidden from the heat of it. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In a little object lesson to me, I don't know if it's object, just a reality, I've had the opportunity, and thank you for this, to go into various tribal stations and just help out for 2 weeks or whatever. Sometimes if Diane would get along, we'd go for 2 months or 3 months. But couple times, different times, I'd gone on my own, and often I was provided a meal a day, and I'd stay at one of the other houses, and usually I was by myself, totally by myself. So when the day was done, or often midday, it's so hot you can hardly work. It gets so hot. One fellow, a young fellow, saw me working there on a septic pit. We're making it. We have to do stuff like that by hand. And he says, for a white man, you sure look like a red man. I was sweating profusely. And when he said that, I was so lightheaded. And as soon as he said that, I just stopped. I realized I must be looking pretty red that he would say that. He's just a young kid saying this, and he hardly knew Indonesian at that. And I was ready to have heat stroke or heat something. So I stopped right there. It was already 20 after 12 and midday. It's the hottest time to work, and I had put a tarp up 6 feet over top of me. And I just went in and waited till the family had dinner ready, and sometimes it wasn't ready till 1 or so. And that time, wash up, get refreshed. But I had my little Gideon Bible with me, and I'd just sit down, and I had such precious times in the Word. There's no greater book that those times are more precious. And it's just, you get into reading it, and there's no other reading that can compare to the blessing, the fellowship in spirit, in Christ, in God, that we have. And it just was blowing me away then. This happened in the Moy, it happened in Elsing. The Moy have God's eternal word now. The Elsing don't have it. They don't understand it yet. But it was such a blessing to me, such a light to me, to have knowledge of this eternal life and have fellowship with the one that gives it to us. And to me, it's a restoring of the soul. This verse talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person, it said in the Amplified. And I pray and I ask you, do you take that time to let it restore you, to let it refresh you? Oh, do. All right, back to John 1:1. Lost my spot here. Some more contrasts. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, we had a verse this morning. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. That was Psalm 36, verse 9. That was read this morning. In him was life, and the life was light of men. Some of you might remember history, Ponce de Leon. What was he looking for? The fountain of youth. Did he ever find it? No, he went looking for it. He spent quite an investment trying to find it. And maybe he landed, I don't remember hardly my history, Florida somewhere. Thought maybe he found something, but he never did find the fountain of life or the fountain of youth that he was looking for. But here we have it, right here in this book. God gives us eternal life. It says, in him was life, the light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Here, a couple more contrasts. Light's in darkness again, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this takes me to the thought of once I was in darkness. I pray and trust that you understand you were born in darkness. And I've got to turn to that portion in Colossians that's one of my favorite portions. Many of you are familiar with it, I'm sure. Colossians 1. All the things that we've been made in Christ. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, even before that, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been made partakers. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, not just from darkness, but from the power of it, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, And that kingdom, that's a kingdom of love. That's one that's joy. That's what we can have. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is the part that took me a long time to realize, that I was born in darkness, needing a Savior, needing redemption. And sometimes we go over these words so quickly, they become biblicized. They're another language. And it's where, as it were, we hardly will hear the word propitiation. And yet, do I really know what that means? Well, in John, it talks about Christ was the means of pacifying God's wrath against my sin, against yours. He was that sacrifice there on the cross. That's propitiation. And we get these terms when we were even in the language or the mission training in Durham. They asked us to explain these terms, and that was our papers we had to hand in. And it was a good exercise. But this is so wonderful that we've been, this is what we have in this one book, in this one special book, the Word of God. So in him was life. Sin was brought into this world, and that was came through Adam and brought death. We're all of Adam. And so we are in death's camp, as it were. So what this book is about is how to have life and how to get out of death's camp. And that's what the story of redemption is all about. So here we have light blazed out of darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. And I've got to turn to those verses in Matthew chapter 4, and that's where I was speaking of earlier on about the mummified man. Actually, I was in a tourist shop, and I bought, they make little statues of this mummified man. I just put it on my desk just to remind me of the light we have. And I just look at this man, and he was waiting for that light that we have. He's waiting for it to come. Didn't come yet. And even many in that village still didn't understand of that coming. Matthew 4. I'm going to turn to verse 15. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this light, this light is right in front of you. And it's not only just in salvation, it's in light for day-to-day living, for fears, things that you have that come up every day. For things that are boggled on our minds, the Word of God gives light. There's times I've come into a very puzzling situation. Both answers, what should I do here? Both answers that I had were all right. And I read and read until I had light. And it came from the Word of God. And it's, as it were, you get your mind off what the problem is, and you gain understanding. And it comes through Scripture, comes through understanding principles. And sometimes it takes a lot of reading. And I found Isaiah and Jeremiah wonderful books to read. I never thought that before. That's just a little side note. But here we have the light coming, and we have this. And do we take a hold of this every day? Do we take a hold of this in time of frustration? I'm sorry I haven't, but discovering it. All right, back to John 1. The world was made by him. Here another contrast. The world knew him not. And then we get right away into another contrast. He came unto his own. His own received him not. Then another contrast. On received. But as many
as received him. Do you realize that you've been given power to become the Son of God, to become a child of God? Well, that's what it says here. This is not my idea. This is God's idea. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. I pray, if you haven't experienced this, that even this very moment you are experiencing this in your mind, that you can become a child of God. And this is verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born from above. This is John 3. Nicodemus coming. How can a man be born again? And Jesus said, being born from above. Well, that's what this is here about. And here we have the Logos. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Here's, this is almost too wonderful. The shepherds saw some glory. They went to the manger. It proved true. And they were full of joy and worship. And as we come to realize, or I have come to realize, peace in myself with God, because I'm guilty. And I've got this sense of guilt that I'm born with and in doing wrong. And that's peace with myself. Peace with God, peace with myself. And once we have that, we can have peace with our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our children. And it just goes on and on and on. And that's, later on we get a verse 16. I'll go to it right now. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. This is grace on grace. We have the Old Testament, look and live, that was pointed out, the Passover lamb. That was grace's kindness. And we say unmerited kindness. Sometimes we have this, again, biblish terminology. What is grace? Well, we know it's like to be gracious. And I pray that we all are. But here it's grace for grace. It's like, on top of that, now we have the New Testament, God's new way of life. And it is just God sending his Son. And that's agape love. And the beauty of that is, when we show agape love to these tribal people, they are just lured by this, just like a moth is to a fire. And they're just attracted by this. They don't have this. They're cussing and yelling at each other. Right, I've had it right in my face. They'd be yelling, oh my, I just... And then this guy accepted the Lord in one of the presentations. It just blew me away. He's my brother in the Lord. Oh, how can he be my brother? Just about stumped me. But I just saw this guy in the flesh. Well, God sees him different. That's Piato. If you ever see the video, We Are Not Worthy. Anyway, and they're killing each other. This guy's a murderer. I don't know how many times over. It's almost scary to be around this guy. Well, grace for grace is just over and over again. 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do I realize the awesomeness of this message, the awesomeness of this Logos, the word that we have? I'm afraid I don't, and I don't even know a lifetime. And that's why we get an eternity, to experience it. And then, two last verses I want to turn to is, how do we bear, here the other word is witness. We can't bear witness. One of our mandates is to go ye into all the world. But also the other mandate is living among each other, every bit as big to me, is to be a witness to one another, just to be that light to each other. And John says, I'm not light, but I bear witness of that light. But he's also being a witness of it, and we are to be that too. And are we able? No, we're not able. 2 Corinthians 3. But there's a key. Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. And I'll close with that. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers. And I used to be timid, like as a Timothy, not able, thinking I'm not able to share this. Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And this is of life. And it's so easy for me to go in and see Piatto there, murderer, yelling in my face or at his enemy right over here. That's the spirit of the law, judgmental. No, we have the spirit of life, and that's agape love. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And this is God's way. Our way is something like that is wrong. Retaliation, judgment, put him in jail. God's way is mercy and grace, forgiveness, and freedom of guilt. And that's what's so amazing. And let's close in prayer. Well, Father, we thank you for your eternal word and your message, the Logos, the word, that how your son was right there in the beginning and he is with you and made all this world and even keeps it in place this very moment, right now. We thank you for that power. We thank you for that new life. And we pray, Father, that we can understand and see this fountain of life, this eternal life, this eternal love, and experience that in our lives tomorrow, the day after, the rest of our lives, Father, not to become frustrated, angry, bitter, which is so natural for us to do. So we pray your help as we go forth in this week, and we thank you for this one that we can celebrate in a couple days even, Christ in bodily form, Emmanuel, God with us, that here you've come to this earth in bodily form and went to that cross, the cross of shame, of degradation, of torture. So we just pray that we can come to know and understand you even more fully and live for you this week. In your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to sing number 39. It's a favorite of mine. And then we'll be dismissed. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Number 39. Thank you.
bless.